Dr. Finlay's Casebook. Adapted for radio from the television series based on the characters created by A.J. Cronin. With Andrew Cruikshank as Dr. Cameron, Barbara Mullen as Janet, Bill Simpson as Dr. Finlay, and this week's special guest, Honora Burke, in the name part of Belle, written by Rosemary Hill and Donald Bull, and adapted for radio by Donald Bull.
My lovely.
Tweet, 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 tweet. Say, Peter. Pretty Peter. Pretty Peter. Ah, oh, he's chirpy today. He's a happy boy, isn't he? Isn't he? He's mother's happy boy.
You're chirpy too, Belle, my lovely.
That's right, Ludo. I'm a bundle of joy. Will you look at that, Pete? Get off my chair, Fatty. Look at him, Ludo. He's eaten so much he can't move. Hasn't he? Hasn't he? Don't get too settled in your work, love. I'm expecting a visitor.
A visitor?
The usual.
Ah.
What's that music you're copying?
It's for the Phil concert next month.
Portsmouth Point. Is it a nice tune?
Well, it's no tune at all, to my way of thinking, Belle.
I don't like that. I like a nice tune. Roses are blooming in Picardy. Oh, it's nice here, isn't it, Ludo?
But on the quiet side.
Not for me, love. There's plenty doing for me. What did I say? Sorry, Ludo. Off you go to the kitchen.
All right. The usual cup of tea in 20 minutes, Belle.
That'll be lovely, dear.
Very well.
Take Fatty with you, love. In the hush of the morning dew. Off to bye-bye with you, pretty boy.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Mother's got to put the cover on. There you are, dear. Come in.
I wasn't sure. It said piano lessons outside.
That's my husband, love. Shut the door. That's the way. You're not frightened, dear, are you? There's nothing to be frightened of. Brought the money, have you?
Yes, it's here.
3, 4, 5. That's all right, then. Now, don't you worry. Sit down and make yourself nice and comfy. That's right. Well, I hang up your coat and lock the door.
Arden House?
This is Mr. Wilson, Deaver Street. Is Dr. Cameron there?
He's out just now.
It's my girl. She's in a bad way. Bleeding.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Wilson. I'll see if Dr. Finlay can come. He has a patient with him at the moment. Oh, there, love, there.
Oh, Doctor, I'm that glad to see you.
Mrs. Wilson. Oh, well, Margaret, what's happened to you, eh? Just let's have a look. Mrs. Wilson, could you, the bedclothes, please?
Why, Doctor?
When did this happen?
Just half an hour ago. She fell down the stairs.
I see. Do you feel any pain, Margaret?
It's my head, Doctor.
Your head hurts.
Oh, it's like a pipe band in there.
Oh, we must get her to hospital. She's got a hemorrhage.
Oh, does she have to go there? It was just a fall, Doctor.
I'll get an ambulance. Just wet those sheets in cold water and keep applying them.
Mom, Mom, can I have a piece? No, Roddy, you can't. Stop thieving now. Oh, and you.
Oh, Mom, I'm hungry.
Oh, my
Mom. Be quiet now, Maisie. And you too, Roddy.
Oh, waste.
I'll get your tea when I can.
Waste.
Oh, Mom. Dr. Cameron's still upstairs with Danny, and the baby's got to have his bottle first. Off you both go now, and see the tam out the back. For pity's sake, he's yelling his head off.
Oh,
come on, Maisie.
Betty Eldon, you're the original old woman in the shoe.
Oh, I am that, Doctor. No mistake. How's my Danny, then?
He'll survive. It's only a slight eczema. Is your man still in steady work?
Aye, he is, Doctor. He's been near 6 months now at the quarry. Mr. Cruikshank thinks the world of him.
Sits as well with 8 mouths to feed. Is he still as affectionate as ever?
Aye, he is that, Doctor. I've been meaning to come
to
you.
Not again, Betsy.
This one's the last. I've given him warning.
You better come and see me.
Ah, oh, there you are, Doctor. I'm sorry, Mrs. Yeldon.
Sergeant Gilby.
It's a message from Dr. Finlay. There's an emergency at the hospital, and could you come right away?
Very well, Sergeant. Goodbye, Betsy.
Goodbye, Dr. Cameron.
There'll have to be an operation.
Oh, Doctor.
And she'll be all right. We're just waiting for Dr. Cameron. You know what's wrong with Margaret, don't you?
She fell down the stairs.
Yes, because she fainted. But before that...
I don't know what you mean.
Well, she's had a miscarriage.
It's not true.
I'm sorry. Look, this is important. Do you know where she went today?
To her work. In Knox Hill, like every day.
She didn't go into Glasgow.
No, she couldn't have. They'll tell you.
Well, somebody did this to her near her home. Are you sure you don't know where she went?
No, no.
Well, she must have got the money from somewhere.
I don't know.
Ah, hey, Dr. Cameron.
Matrons, give me the gist of it.
Yes, Margaret Wilson's mother, Dr. Cameron.
See, well, I'll just go straight in.
Yes, I'm just coming. Now, don't worry, Mrs. Wilson.
Oh, Doctor, her father, you'll not tell him.
Oh, he's got to know.
He'll kill her, Dr. Finlay. He'll kill her.
Is she awake here, sister?
Yes, Dr. Finlay.
She said anything?
No, and she won't. I know the type.
How old are you, Margaret?
18.
Why didn't you come to me or Dr. Cameron before this happened?
I had a fall. How could I?
But isn't there anything you'd like to tell me?
I fell down the stairs. That's all about it.
Now you've got to trust me, Margaret. It could happen to some other girl who mightn't be so lucky. Now, was it a man or a woman? Someone in Tannockbray?
I fell down the stairs.
Very well, Margaret.
I told you, Doctor. They're all the same.
Has their father been?
Yes. They hardly spoke.
Poor kid. I think her hardest part's to come.
This is her home, Dr. Finlay. You needn't fear. I'll not turn her away.
I'm glad. Mr. Wilson, she still denies anything has happened to her. Anything at all.
Aye. She's that much shame left.
Well, it's clear someone performed an illegal operation on her. And we've got to try and find out who it was to prevent further...
So that's the way of it. It's not enough she's brought shame on herself. She's got to bring it on her mother and me. No, she'll not say a word. Not a word. Nothing.
It's what I expected, Dr. Finlay. Father, mother, daughter. They signed a pact to keep their teeth tight shut. There'll be no shaking them.
Dr. Cameron, that girl didn't go into Glasgow. She found someone right here, on our own doorstep. And that's something new.
Don't delude yourself. It's merely the first time it's come to our attention.
So what do we do? Wait until one of our own patients gets murdered?
I have no need for a lecture on the matter, Dr. Finlay. I have seen women, girls with septicemia, dying in pain, were ruined for life. We cannot help them when they come to us. All we can do is mop up the mess. When it happens, Margaret Wilson isn't the first. I'm afraid she will not be the last.
Maisie, keep an eye on Willis. He does the climb of the tram like last time. And stay out there for part of you. Don't want you under my feet.
Oh, I'll never get my floors done. What are you doing back so early?
Betsy.
You've lost your job.
Wasn't it my fault, Betsy? They're laying off at the quarry. I couldn't get it.
Why, you? Why not one of the others?
It's last in, first out. Mr. Cruikshank said it wouldn't be for long.
Oh, I remember the last time. Oh, dear God. What are we going to do? What are we going to do?
The tea is all set, Dr. Cameron, and the kettle is on the hob. You've only to pour it.
Thank you, sir. You're off, are you?
Dr. Finlay's giving me a lift into Knox Hill.
Well, what is it today? The Town Ladies Guild or the choir?
You know, fine, Doctor. It's to my cousin's tea shop every Thursday.
Of course. Janet. Huh? That is an extremely beautiful hat.
Oh, I bought it last week at McWhirter's. Does it suit me, do you think?
Decidedly.
You don't think the flowers are a wee bit showy? I wanted berries, but all they had looked like deadly nightshade.
It makes you look 20 years younger.
Thank you, Doctor.
I'm a wee then. Are you ready, Janet? In the name of...
What, Doctor?
What the... Beautiful hat.
Do you like it, Doctor? I wasn't quite sure myself. The flowers, you know?
Oh, it's a knockout. Dr. Cameron couldn't have grown a better one.
Thank you, Doctor. It is nice of you to notice.
I'll drop you off at the library. Will that be all right?
Oh, that would be fine, thank you. I need to change my book. Goodbye, Dr. Cameron.
Good afternoon, Miss McPherson.
Well, Nellie, are you running things on your own today?
Miss Ivy won't be too long. She just had to step over to the town hall.
Mm-hmm.
Will I bring you some tea while you're waiting?
Oh, thank you, Nellie. I'll just sit there in the corner.
Would you like a cake with
it? Oh, I would indeed. One of those nice little iced ones with the cherry on the top.
I won't be a moment.
It's crowded today, isn't it? Do you mind?
You're very welcome.
Oh, it's nice to sit down, isn't it?
Aye.
And you can sit on this chair, Fatty. There, look at him. He knows there's something nice coming. Yes, he does. Do you like dogs?
In moderation.
I don't usually come here Thursdays. Wednesday's my shopping day. But I've been all upsy-down this week. Excuse me, dear. But that is a nice hat.
That's very kind of you.
I don't think I've seen you here before, dear.
I dare say that's because I always come on Thursdays.
Oh, then you're not... Excuse me, dear. I can see an empty table over there. Well,
then do take it, by all means.
Come along, Fatty. Goodbye.
Here's your tea, Miss McPherson.
Thank you, Nellie. What a very peculiar person.
She comes in sometimes.
Oh.
On Wednesdays, mostly. Her and that fat Pekingese.
Janet, there you are. And there you are, Aggie. I've had to have my tea alone for the first time since...
Bring me a cup over here, Nellie, love.
Yes, Miss Aggie.
I had to go into the town hall.
Mm-hmm.
You've no idea what they're trying to do to me with the rates. Why... That's never a new hat, Janet. Where did you get it? At McWhirter's, Aggie, where I always...
Oh, it's spectacular.
Oh, dear. Do you think so?
You've the head for it. It would look like a pail on me.
Yeah, it would. How are your doctors this week?
Oh, they're fine, Aggie. Dr. Cameron's had a wee cold.
Have you married the young one off yet?
Oh, Dr. Finley's got plenty of time yet to be thinking about marrying. Not that there aren't a few cats thrown in that direction, but he's got a sensible head on his shoulders.
Will you look at that?
What, Aggie?
The girl has just come in over there, looking for a table.
Oh, but she's wearing exactly the same hat as yours.
I'd say she'd be into McWhirter's, too.
Where?
Well, you're looking for a seat, dear. There's room here.
Thank you. Are you sure you don't mind?
Of course not, dear. I'll just move Fatty. I usually come in here after shopping for a nice sit-down and a chat. The cakes are so delicious. Excuse me, dear. But that is a nice hat.
But it's maybe not for long, Betsy. They'll surely take him back when things get better.
They promised me that last time, Dr. Cameron. He was out for 2 years. It's just not possible.
I'm afraid it's only too possible, Betsy.
But you can take it away.
Do you know what you're saying? It's against the law. Can it be done?
Oh, you know it's done all the time.
Oh, yes, yes, when there are reasons.
Well, haven't I got reasons? 8 of them.
Reasons of health, Betsy. If you were ill or could persuade some expensive nerve specialist you were on the edge of a breakdown, but you're not, you're busting with health. As for your nerves, well, you've nerve enough coming to me making criminal suggestions.
What's criminal about it? It's sense. If I have the burn and have to go out cleaning like last time, I'll be ill, won't I? Then what'll happen to all of us?
Oh, that is not the way the law looks at it.
Oh, then the law's a fool.
Well, that's been said before now.
Then you'll not help me.
I will help you to have a fine, healthy baby. I will help you afterwards in any way I can.
Thank you, Doctor, for listening.
Betsy, you'll not do anything foolish.
Don't you worry, Doctor. I'll leave that to the law.
Pretty Peter, pretty Peter. You can put the kettle on in about 20 minutes, Ludo.
Sit down, dear. Don't be frightened. There's nothing to be frightened of. Have you brought the money? That's right. 3, 4, 5. Now, my pretty, time for bye-byes. Mother's got a visitor.
Missy, come away from the press.
You'll get it.
There's only a bit of cheese.
Well, Mum said to wait till she come back.
Will she await you, Rudy?
She said no to tell. She's away to the pawn.
What for?
To get money, of course, you dafty. She took her good costume and Dad's black jacket and trousers. She took her brooch. Here's Dad.
Where's your mother?
She away to the pawn. She took her brooch.
Maisie, I told you not to.
Go away.
Is there a bite in the house?
Oh, Mum said she'd bring some when she got back.
Did she say how long she'd be?
No, Dad. She said she might be some time.
I came as soon as I could, sister.
Thank you, Dr. Findlay.
So she's dead. Poor Betsy Yeldon.
Yes, Doctor. She went in the ambulance on the way here. It was very quick.
Nothing to be done.
No, she collapsed in the street. At first they thought she'd been hit by a motor car, but then, well, I told Dr. Cameron on the telephone what it was.
Aye. Poor silly woman.
If only she'd had the sense to come to you first.
Sister, we've got to get to the truth of this. Dr. Cameron said Sergeant Gilby would be meeting me here at the hospital.
Yes, Doctor. He's with Mr. Yeldon in the office now. Oh, no, no, here he is.
Good evening, Dr. Findlay.
Good evening, Sergeant.
I must go away back to the ward.
I had a word with the husband, Dr. Findlay. He says she didn't tell him a thing.
What about the neighbours?
Oh, he can get nothing from these old buddies. They're not past doing a bit of that sort of thing themselves.
This isn't just any old biddy. It's someone with a bit of knowledge. And all that more dangerous.
It's not the first case of the kind you've come across, then.
I've told you all I can, Sergeant.
Would Dr. Cameron be able to help me a bit more, do you think?
He's doing what he can right now.
Mr. Wilson, you must come forward.
The police is it, Dr. Cameron. They had to stand up in the courtroom for all to see.
Is it nothing to you that she nearly died? And that another woman has died?
Might have been better. And for any slop that goes the same way.
You're a moral man.
I thank God for it.
I thank God I don't share your principles. So that's why you took your daughter back. It wasn't forgiveness. It was fear of what the neighbours might put together.
You've had yours.
Oh, not yet. Man, somewhere in this town there's a monster battening on poor, frightened lassies like your Margaret and unhappy, desperate women. One of them has died. There's a house with 8 motherless children in it. Because of your silence, all I ask is that you name this person. I promise there will be nothing further. Shall not be asked another question.
All right. I'll get her down. But wait. Dr. Cameron, you can ask your questions. But if she answers, you can tell her. For I'll not speak to her. You tell her there'll be no home for her here.
You charge too high a price. Good day, Mr. Wilson.
Dad. Dad, can I go out?
Hmm?
Can I, Dad? Can I go out?
It's night, Roddy.
Just out in the street.
The bairn's in bed.
Aye.
Nelly from the tea shop's looking after them. She's putting them down. Dad?
Aye, away you go, son.
Thanks, Dad. Oh, sorry, miss.
Mr. Yeldon?
Hmm?
It's Miss McPherson from Dr. Cameron.
Oh, aye. Come in, Miss McPherson. I was just having a...
Now, don't disturb yourself, Mr. Yeldon. I've only called in to see how you were. You and the children.
It's kind of you. It was the funeral today, you see.
I know.
Mr. Brown, the pawnbroker, loaned me back my black suit. So I could bring it back when it was over. She'd give him her brooch, too. Real gold. She was that proud of it. It was for the money she needed, you see.
Yes. That was your Roddy that went out just now, wasn't it? He's a fine-looking lad.
I sent him out. The house was no place for a boy. One of the neighbour lasses is seeing to the bairns and putting to bed.
I'm glad folks are helping. I'll tell Dr. Cameron. He'll be pleased. Now, I've brought you these.
Eh?
The doctor was worried you mightn't have had the chance to see to getting the food, so he sent me along with one or two things you might need.
Well,
not to say a word, Mr. Yeldon. Dr. Cameron will not take no. Now, I'll just get these away and then make you something for your supper.
I've put them down, Mr. Yeldon. They're as good as gold. Miss McPherson.
Oh, I nearly. I'd forgotten you lived nearby.
I just came in to see what I could do.
Well, that makes two pairs of hands, for I was just going to prepare a wee something to eat, and you can help me.
Oh, yes, of course.
Mr. Yeldon?
Hmm?
Why don't you take a bit of air and maybe find Roddy? And by the time you're back, we'll be ready.
I will. Thank you. Thank you both very much.
Dear, wasn't it awful? I just couldn't believe it. To fall down in the street just like that. They're saying she must have been hit by a motor, but the police would have found it, wouldn't they? I think she was ill and nobody knew it.
I expect it was something like that, Nelly.
She was in the tea shop only 2 days before.
In the tea shop?
Why? Miss Saggy thought it was queer, too, seeing her there.
Do you know where they keep the plates?
Yes, here.
We'll just cut some of the ham. 2 days ago, did you say?
Aye, it was Wednesday. I thought she looked a bit funny. You know, not well.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get the chance to talk to her, only say hello, because I was so busy serving. And then she got chatting with that Mrs. McAllister, so I didn't want to barge in. I've had my head bitten off there before.
Mrs. McAllister? Who is she?
Oh, she's a great fat thing with a Pekingese dog the same size as herself. She feeds it pastries.
Oh, I think I've seen her.
Yes, you have. Don't you remember last time you were in, she sat at your table for a moment?
Aye.
She comes on Wednesdays mainly, and always gets talking to someone on her own in that corner.
Does she know? Nelly, tell me more about this lady.
Well, I don't know much, except she hasn't been here long, only a few months. Husband gives piano lessons, but you wouldn't think so to look at her. Always dressed up like a birthday cake.
And jewels.
I mean, there can't be that many people wanting to learn piano in Knox Hill.
Janet! Janet! Where is the woman?
Dr. Cameron.
Ah, there you are. Have you been out?
I've been to the Eldon's, Doctor.
Have you seen my, what do you call it, the thing which I used to clean out my pipe?
Oh.
Good heavens, what's afflicted you?
Doctor, I think I have never been so insulted in my life.
I only asked you to find my pipe cleaner.
No, Doctor. It happened 3 Thursdays ago in my cousin Aggie's tea shop. And I haven't realized it till now. I will never be able to wear that hat again.
Janet, are you sure you're in your right mind?
Oh, yes, Dr. Cameron, I am. And what's more, I'm sure I have found out who that person is that you have been looking for.
Bill, is there any more for the trunk, Bill?
No, love. You can close it now. When's the train?
4:40.
Then we've got plenty of time. I hate rush. Did you pay her off downstairs?
I did.
Did she say anything?
No, but she looked it.
She was asking yesterday, why don't we have a piano if we give lessons? Sneaky thing. Just a song at twilight. Oh, I'm glad we're going, aren't you, Ludo?
I am.
You were right. He was right, wasn't he? Pretty Peter, pretty Peter. Mother should have listened to her, lovely. Look, this place was too quiet. Too many nosy Parkers looking for something to poke their nosy noses into. There's the carrier now. No Ludo. Let him do the work, lovey. You're paying. Up here. It's up here. You've strapped the trunk. That's right. Let her look round and see we haven't left anything. Look in the bedroom, love. I'll cover pretty Peter now. Edinburgh's the place for us, lovely. See me going down Princess Street in my fur. Hey, Fatty. And you can go to your concerts again, Ludo. Oh, it's going to be better all round. It's a silly idea coming here in the first place. Mother's an old silly, isn't she, Fatty? Isn't she? Who are you? You're not the carrier.
Mrs. Bell McAllister.
Yes. If it's for the piano lessons, you're a bit late. We're moving.
My name is Cameron. Dr. Cameron.
Doctor? We didn't send for a doctor. Ludo, did you send for the doctor?
What? You've got the wrong place. We'll just have to catch a train.
No, I think not. So this is where they come. Yes, it's as I pictured it. And you... You meet them in a certain tea shop, I'm informed. Your go-betweens do their work well. You know your victims by something they are wearing. A pair of gloves. A hat. You ascertain that they have the money to pay for your services, and they come here as if for a lesson on the piano.
I don't know what you're after, but you can get out. You're in the way. We're moving, I told you.
Woman, you're going nowhere at all. In 10 minutes, the police will be here.
It's her. It's that last one. I knew it.
Shut up. She's just talking, can't you see?
Yes, it's her. A woman called Betsy Yeldham.
I never heard of her. Who's been telling you stories?
Not Betsy Yeldham. She cannot speak.
I knew it. You're just guessing. He's just guessing, Ludo. He's trying to frighten us. He doesn't know anything.
There was a girl who told me. A young girl of 18. Margaret Wilson.
She wouldn't...
The police have her statement. And the facts about Mrs. Yeldham.
I didn't kill her. Ludo. Ludo, he says I killed her. But I didn't. You know I didn't. I helped her. She was desperate. I only did it to help. You can't turn them away. You can't have a heart of stone. Those posh doctors and their fancy clinics, they get away with it. It's all right for the rich, but what about the poor, eh? Where can they come except to me? Oh, don't let them take me away. I promise. We'll give it up. We were going to give it up, weren't we, Ludo? Oh, I promise. I swear I'll... You're having me on. It's all a lie. You and the police. You wouldn't have come here. Not if you'd put the police on me. It was a trick. You're having me on. Oh, look, you can see. Look at his face, Ludo. Look. He hasn't got a thing on us. That girl never said anything. They never do.
No, they never do. And that's what you count on. You're safe, God forgive you. But go. Go from here. You infect this place. I cannot stay a moment longer.
Hypocrite! Dirty hypocrite! What do you do for them, eh? What do you do when they come to you and say they'll kill themselves? I do something, but what do you do? Wash your hands! Who's the murderer? Hypocrite! Hypocrite!
You've been listening to Bell, written by Rosemary Hill and Donald Bull, and adapted for radio by Donald Bull from the television series of Dr. Finlay's Casebook, based on the characters created by A.J. Cronin and broadcast by arrangement with Graham Stewart. The cast was as follows: Dr. Cameron, Andrew Cruikshank, Janet, Barbara Mullen, Dr. Finlay, Bill Simpson, Bell, Honora Burke, Ludo, Alan Barry, Sergeant Gilby, Duncan McIntyre, Margaret Wilson, Sheila Donald, Mr. Wilson, John Gabriel, Mr. Yeldham, Duncan McIntyre, Betsy Yeldham, Margaret Wolfitt, Roddy Yeldham, Sheila Donald, Maisie Yeldham and Nellie, Deborah Dallas, Aggie, Hilda Kreisman. The play was produced by Peter Titheridge.